Good morning.
Good morning.
Don't start. It would help if I turned it on, he said. So, yeah. I saw that look. Duh. Angie. Let me go through a few announcements with you all. Let me just say this too. It's good seeing you all here this morning. So, can we do something that we do every Sunday morning? Let's say good morning one more time, but hold on before you say it. I want you to say it like you mean it, okay? Like, good morning.
Good morning.
Awesome. I love to hear that. Tony, you did good on that one. Yes. Hey, we will be having services tonight at 5:30, okay? There will be a sanctuary service in here too, but also Brother Kenny is going to be having some things for the kids. And you're welcome to go over there to be a part of that if you'd like. But we are going to have Bible study in here as well, okay? And so I'll tell you a little bit more about that here in just a minute. So the Children's Department is sponsoring a fun, interactive event with J&C Exotics. Join us at 5:30 p.m. tonight in the Family Life Center. Everyone is welcome for that.
So I'm not
for sure exactly what all they're going to have there, but it's going to be fun for the kids. And so, stop. I don't like spiders, okay? So if I watch them, I'd be watching them from here to a door. I don't know if there's spiders there. So if you're scared of spiders, don't be afraid of that, okay? God made them. I don't know why He made them, but He did make them, okay? I will ask why, and I think you were wanting to know about mosquitoes, right? But anyway. Also, a regular business meeting is scheduled for Wednesday, May 8th at 6:30 p.m. There will be a ladies' lunch this Friday, May 10th at 11:30 at Texas Roadhouse in Paducah. All ladies are invited to join the fellowship. Please see Dinah Swinford if you plan to attend. A celebration of life service will be held here on Saturday, May 18th for Jeffrey Wayne Reynolds. Visitation be from 9:30 to 11 and be followed by a memorial service. Details are available also in the bulletin. A new Bible study will begin on Sunday, June the 2nd. Brother David Atwell will be leading the study, and it's called Before You Share Your Faith. Check out the Waldo app for the class description. Please sign up at the welcome desk if you plan to attend that Bible study. And so at this time, we are going to recognize our seniors, and I'm going to ask Brother Caleb to come up, and he's going to take over from here for a minute.
Good morning. We are blessed and excited to be able to recognize our seniors. We're very proud of what they have accomplished getting this far. And so what I'm going to do is I'm going to read off where they're going and their future plans. And once I do that, then you are free to clap. But when I call your name, please come forward, and I have a Bible to present to you. And then you can just stand up here. And then once we call all names, I'm going to ask the parents and immediate family members of those seniors to come and to lay hands. And then the rest of the church to come up, and we will pray for them and their future endeavors. And that the Lord will continue to bless them and be a light through them. So once again, guys, thankful for the support groups around these students as well. So first, we have Miss Adeline Gower. She plans to attend Shawnee Community College on a volleyball scholarship, also playing on the basketball team, and while doing all this, studying for a major in business. This is when you can clap. Next, we have Miss Carmen Redwine. She plans to attend Western Kentucky University nursing program. Next, we have Miss Dakota Fowler. She plans to attend Shawnee Community College to pursue her Associates of Arts and will then take acting classes. Next, we have Miss Kelsey Fowler. She plans to attend Shawnee Community College to pursue her Associates of Arts and will then pursue a major in criminal justice. Next, we have Mr. Keaton Reynolds. He plans to attend Murray State University to pursue a business finance degree. Next, we have Mr. Lucas Hanna. He plans to then step into an HVAC apprenticeship. And last but not least, we have Mr. Noah Jeffords. He will go to West Kentucky Community and Technical College to study to be an electrician. Now, if we could have the families of these students come up and stand around your student, you can lay hands on them. If y'all need to spread out, you can. If you need to come more this direction, that's fine too. I'll step up here. All family, if you want to come. You could be grandpa, uncle, godfather, godmother, whatever you want. You can come and lay hands. All right, now that the families are here, anyone who is able and wants to, you can come and stand around these families and pray for them and their students. And this is a call for anyone who wants to come up. Let's show these students support and love from their church family. To know that they always have a home. They always have someone that they can lean on. Alrighty. Let us pray. Dear Heavenly Father, Lord, we just thank you so much for this day, Lord. And we just thank you for these students. Lord, thank you for working in their hearts. Thank you for all the things that you've already done through them. Lord, we are so proud of them and their accomplishments. And we cannot wait to see what you do through them and their future plans. Lord, right now I just ask that you would continue to stir in their hearts, Lord. Give them the courage to continue to stand upon your word, stand upon your truth in a world out there that is continuously trying to attack us, Lord. We know that we have a refuge in you, Lord, but not only do we have a refuge in you, you give us the beauty of the church. You give us support groups, those people who will stand with us, who will walk with us in prayer and to be that shoulder to cry on or to be that hand to help us up, Lord. We're just so thankful for how you work in the lives of other believers and how you work in the hearts of these students. Lord, we just cannot wait to see how you shine bright in the lives of these students. Lord, we thank you so much for who you are and the blessings you continue to give us. We pray all these things in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen.
open us up. All right, we have a call to worship. Let's go to the Lord in prayer. Father, as we get ready to prepare our hearts and minds for the worship and song and worship in your word, Father, that you would speak clearly to us. Thank you for this morning already. Thank you for all of these students. Lord, it seems like yesterday they started school and now they are ending their high school and getting ready to go on to college. And Father, we just pray that you would watch over them, protect them. Now, be with us here as we gather as your body, as we worship you as our King, our Lord, our Savior, our soon coming King. We give you all the glory in Jesus' name. Amen. Let's all stand together.
Good morning, church. Let's worship together. Through all the seasons of life, God is faithful. He gives, He takes away. And like Job, our response ought to be, blessed be the name of the Lord. Let's worship together with joy this morning because of what God has done for us.
Blessed be your name in the land that is plentiful, where your streams of abundance flow. Blessed be your name. Blessed be your name when I'm found in the desert place, though I walk through the wilderness. Blessed be your name. Every blessing you pour out, I'll turn back to praise. When the darkness closes in, Lord, still I will say, blessed be the name of the Lord. Blessed be your name. Blessed be the name of the Lord. Blessed be your glorious name. Blessed be your name when the sun shining down on me, when the world's all as it should be. Blessed be your name. Blessed be your name on the road marked with suffering, though there's pain in the offering. Blessed be your name. Every blessing you pour out, I turn back to praise. When the darkness closes in, Lord, still Blessed be your name. Blessed be the name of the Lord. Blessed be your glorious name. Blessed be the name of the Lord. Blessed be your name. Blessed be the name of the Blessed be your name. Blessed be the name of the Lord. Blessed be your glorious
Come, thou fount of every blessing, tune my heart to sing thy grace. Streams of mercy never ceasing, call for songs of loudest praise. Teach me some melodious sonnet, sung by flaming tongues above. Praise the mount I'm fixed upon it, mount of thy redeeming blood. Here I raise my Ebenezer, hither by thy help I'm found, and I hope by thy good pleasure safely to arrive at home. Jesus sought me when a stranger, wandering from the fold of God. He to rescue me from danger interposed his precious blood. Oh, to grace, how great a debtor, daily I'm constrained to be. Let thy grace, Lord, like a fetter, bind my wandering heart to thee. Prone to wander, Lord, I feel it, prone to leave the God I love. Here's my heart, Lord, take and seal it for thy courts above. Prone to wander, Lord, I feel it, prone to leave the God I love. Here's my heart, Lord, take and seal it for thy courts above. Here's my heart, Lord, take and seal it for thy courts above.
We can have our ushers come now as we worship with our tithes and our offerings. I would appreciate it. And for all you graduating and you're going off to college or anything, if you ever need any help with homework, just holler at me. Okay?
Come on, yeah.
I thought I'd throw it out there just in case. My kids came to me for help with their homework all the way up until third grade. Then that was about it. So, anyway, let's go to the Lord in prayer. Charlie, would you bless this offering?
Lord, we thank you for another day. Thank you for each and every one that came out this morning.
Lord, we pray you will hand your way in service, and that you may be glorified by God. Lord, we ask that if you leave us here today, Lord, that we receive you, Lord, and accept you, Lord.
start that again. On my knees, Lord, I cried out to you. I'm so alone. But if there's room in your house for one more, I'm ready to come back.
Oh.
If you have your Bibles, turn with me to the book of Romans, chapter 12. Thank you, John, for that song. I hope that you take some notes today. Somehow, some way, write some of these things down that will help us. But let's stand together this morning at the reading of God's Word from Romans chapter 12. Don't know how far we will get. We will see as we go through this. Verse 1. Therefore, I urge you, brothers and sisters, in view of God's mercy, to offer your bodies as a living sacrifice, holy and pleasing to God. This is your true and proper worship. Do not conform to the pattern of this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind. Then you will be able to test and approve what God's will is, His good, pleasing, and perfect will. Let's pray. Father, as I come before you now, there's nothing in and of myself that has any value. Nothing that I can say in and of myself that has any value. But Lord, your word stands alone, and it is great riches. And I ask that, Lord, you would hide me behind the cross. God, you would go before me, and you would be over me and to the side of me and under me as I proclaim your word here. And Lord, that you would open up our eyes to see, our ears to hear, our minds to understand, our hearts to be open and soft. That God, we would grasp this. This is so, so, so important today. So Lord, over the next few minutes, be with us. Speak to us. In your name we pray. Amen. So every year, supposedly every year, I say supposedly, and I look around at many of you and I can tell that every year, supposedly every year, that you do the same thing. There are many of us here who wear what we call spectacles, who wear glasses, and that I have to go every year to the eye doctor. And you say, well, why do you have to go to the eye doctor? You already wear glasses. Well, because my vision changes. And the truth of the matter is that every single one of us, I want you to know this, that you may have 20/20 vision right now, but your eyes are getting worse. You may not realize it. I used to have 20/20 vision as well, and now I think I may have 2/2. And it's getting worse. Well, it reminds me, I can go all the way back to my pap, Papaw York. And I would come in sometimes and he would have his Bible open. And he had what you call Coke bottle glasses. They were real thick. And his eyes were big when you saw him through those Coke bottle glasses. And he would read his Bible with those Coke bottle glasses. And he would have the aid of a magnifying glass. Yeah, that's where I'm headed. David always told me, never make fun of where you're headed. And so he would read that Bible with a magnifying glass and a light and his Coke bottle glasses, and he would read the Bible. And it always impressed me to see that even though he couldn't see, he was always eagerly and earnestly wanting to read the Word of God. And so when I go to that doctor's appointment and I go to the eye doctor, the first thing they do is take me through a series of events. First thing they do is blow air into your eye. I never understood that, but I always flinch and I always jump, and I know it's coming and I just don't like it. And then they'll take you into a dark room, and there's all these instruments and all of this, and they put your chin in this strap and they begin to do a series of tests to see where you are to this very day. It seems like every time that I go, I've got to get a new set of lenses or glasses because my eyes aren't getting better, they're getting worse. It's not like I'm getting to the point where I don't have to have these. I take these off. I do not see you hardly. I put these on to be able to see. And so every year I have to be corrected at some point so that I can be able to have clearer vision. One of the first things I do in the morning whenever I wake up in the morning is I reach for my glasses. Because if I don't reach for my glasses, I don't know where I'm going. And I'm going to run into something. I'm not going to be able to see anything. So I reach for my glasses. Well, I wanted us to see here this morning from the Word of God and from the passage of Scripture that we're reading this morning is that we need to be able to have correct vision in order to be able to see what God is wanting us to see. You know, if we don't, then what we're saying is I don't need these to be able to see, but the reality is I do. And so here Paul is wanting us to see clearly at what God is wanting to say to us from His Word. Now all along through the book of Romans, Paul is bringing about a message of salvation through his Son Jesus Christ. From the very beginning of Romans 1 to all the way up to Romans 3, what Paul was doing was he was getting a person, a man, lost. He's wanting them to see their need, their problem. And that problem is sin. That sin is what separates us from a holy God. If you've never accepted Jesus Christ, guess what? You have the problem of sin in your life. Every single person born is born with a problem of sin in their life, and that sin is what separates us from a holy God. There is a gulf chasm that there's nothing that you can do to earn your way to God. And so Paul is laying this out strategically, and so he's understanding his people. He knew that his people believed that if they could just live up to the law, that they would be in right standing with God. He was also letting them know that the gospel isn't just for the Jews only, but that the gospel is for all people, Jews and Gentiles alike. And so therefore, everyone has this problem of sin in their life. So what's the solution? What's the solution? Well, the solution is Jesus. You see, Jesus knew that every single one of us had the problem of sin in our life. Therefore, Jesus left the throne of heaven and He came and He dwelt on this earth. And guess what? Jesus was on a mission. Jesus saw clearly His mission. He knew exactly why He came. He came to die. He came to be the sacrificial lamb once and for all. No longer do we have to go to a high priest. No longer do we have to go into the Holy of Holies. When Jesus died, He split the veil from top to bottom. Therefore, we can approach God at any time, at any moment in our life. And so the problem is sin. The solution is Jesus. And that's what He's saying here. Through all of these chapters, He is pointing everything to Christ and Christ alone. That Jesus is the Savior of the world, which now we get to our passage of Scripture. Okay? It says, therefore. You see a therefore? You see what it's there for. So therefore, I urge you, brothers and sisters. When you urge someone, you are putting emphasis on it. It means that you want them to take note. You want them to take notice of this, to wake up, to pay attention. I urge you, I strongly urge you, brothers and sisters, in view of God's mercy, to offer your bodies as a living sacrifice, holy and pleasing to God. Now, He's wanting us to look back at our life. He's wanting us to see the mercy of God in our life. There is no one in here any better than anyone else. It doesn't matter where you're from. It don't matter who you're born to. It doesn't matter. There's no one here any better than anyone else. We are all sinners in need of Christ Jesus. So therefore, in view of God's mercy in your life, look what he says. To offer your bodies as a living sacrifice. Not as a dead sacrifice, but as a living sacrifice. As a born-again believer, you have to see yourself and know yourself as a living sacrifice. You're no longer dead in your sins. You're now alive to God. But he says right before this, in view of. When you see me or when I see myself in view of God's mercy in my life. I don't deserve the grace of God in my life. I don't deserve the mercy of God in my life. The truth of the matter is, what I truly deserve, God stepped in and gave me what I didn't deserve. And he gave me what I didn't deserve. His grace, his mercy, his love. What I really deserve was hell and separation from God, but he gave me what I don't deserve, and he gave me the greatest gift on the face of the earth, and that was the gift of himself. There's no greater gift than Jesus. So you and I are to wake up every day, every morning, in view of what God has done in our life. A couple of years ago, Andon and Kayla brought me a gift. And they put it on my desk. I had taught on this passage of Scripture, and it reminded them of what I was reminded of when I see this passage of Scripture every time. Back in my day, back in the early 70s, mid-70s, they had some really good toys. And there was this toy called a viewfinder. If you don't have a viewfinder, I encourage every single one of you to go out and get you one. And so in this viewfinder, it comes with a round set of pictures. And you put it inside this viewfinder, and you put your face up to it, and you start clicking, and each click is a new picture. And if you want to get a really good result, you need to look at it in the light or look at it outside, and it just pops out at you. I took it home, and Brinley and the grandkids and Brooks and Connor, they got it, and they were just amazed at this toy. They were amazed that elephant popped out in that picture, or that zebra popped out in that picture, and they just kept it there, and they kept clicking, because every click was a new picture. And when they were doing that, I was doing all this stuff like this. They didn't see me. Why? Because they were zoned in on that picture, and nothing was distracting them because they were so close to it that they were able to see it, and it came alive. So you and I are to be able to see every single day the view of God's mercy in our life. So why are we not seeing it so closely? Well, because we get distracted. Because there's things in our life that distract us from the view of the mercy of God. What is that distraction? Life. How many of you are in the middle of life? How many of you are in the middle of struggles, in the middle of tough times in your life? And the next thing you know, you're so engulfed and so encompassed in what's going on in life that we forget about the view of God's mercy in our life. I don't know about you, but I can get very distracted really easy. I mean, a bird could fly over and I'm like, whoa, did you see that? My wife sometimes will have to tell me to focus. Because we can lose focus. And listen, it doesn't happen all at once. It happens over a period of time. Just like your eyesight, you don't just go blind all of a sudden normally. Your eyesight gradually begins to deteriorate over time. And that's why you have to go every year to get it rechecked. Because you don't notice it until you notice it. And then you say, wow, some of you are holding out right now to go to the doctor. Because you think that you can see really clearly until you go and you think, man, I couldn't see nothing. I don't know how I've been operating. I don't know how I've been doing it. Well, you're so used to it that you don't see how clear you can really see. I like to talk to those who had cataract surgery. And after they've had cataract surgery, they could not believe the colors that pop out to them. Why? Because it didn't happen all at once. It happened gradually over a period of time. And so this is a call, this is an urge, this is something that you and I are to see, that if we're not careful, we're going through life and we're not viewing every day the mercy of God in our life. And so we need to back up. And we need to look through the viewfinder of the Word of God so that you and I can see more clearly. So that we can know how to react correctly in certain situations. If not, we're going to go by our own opinions and we're going to go by our own thoughts and we're going to go by someone else's thoughts or someone else's opinions, and we're not going by the Word of God. And so as we look at this, Paul is saying, therefore, I urge you, brothers and sisters, in view of God's mercy, to offer your bodies as a living sacrifice, what? That is holy and pleasing to God. And this is a question I'm going to ask you. It's not for anyone else. It is for you and you alone. How are you pleasing to God? How is your sacrifice of your life? It says your living sacrifice that is holy and pleasing God. There's a lot of areas of my life I know that it's not pleasing God. So therefore, if I'm not careful, because I can go my own way, I can do my own thing, I can have my own thought, that it doesn't bring honor and glory to God, it doesn't please God, it's not holy unto God. Therefore, we have to every day give ourselves a spiritual checkup. Why? So that we can live our life that pleases the Lord. That we can live our life that He is pleased with. Not that anyone else is pleased with. How often do we spend our life trying to please everyone else? How often do we try to... let's get down to the nuts and bolts of things. We want to please our coworkers. We want to please our friends. We want to please our family. And so therefore we adjust to wanting to please everyone else. But what about the Lord? You know, the Bible says that you and I are to please one, and that is Christ. That is Christ. So the question is, I'm reading this, how is my life holy and pleasing to God? Am I living my life as a spiritual sacrifice unto Him? Well, I go to church. Is that a sacrifice? How are you living your life that brings honor and glory to God? How are you serving Him that others may know Him? How are we proclaiming Him that others may hear Him? How are we serving Him that others may see Him? If you're not careful and I'm not careful, we can get in what you call the spiritual rut. That we stay in it and we just spin our wheels. And we just spin our wheels and we just spin our wheels. I don't know if I'm speaking to you, but maybe today and this morning you're in a spiritual rut. You know how to get out of a spiritual rut? You call for the one who can get you out. You call for the one who can pull you through it. Because in our hearts and in our minds, we think and we feel like we can do it on our own. How many of you are like that? You feel like I can handle this on my own. I can deal with this on my own. I can fix this on my own. I've done it all my life on my own. But I'm going to tell you something. There's things in your life you can't do on your own. There's things in your life you can't fix your marriage. You can't fix your life. You can't fix your friends' lives. But you can direct them to the one who can. And he says, in view of God's mercy, I urge you, brothers and sisters, to live your life and your bodies as a living sacrifice, holy and pleasing to God. This is your true and proper worship. This is your true and proper worship. What is worship? Worship is an outward sign of an inward decision that you've made in your life. It's what's going on within your heart that Christ come in, that it begins to spill out in your life. You know, we can worship a lot of stuff. We can worship a lot of things. All you got to do is look in the sports field. Now, I'm a huge sports fan, trust me. And if we're not careful, we can put those things above what's truly worth it, and His name is Christ. I've seen some of you at ball games. You get more excited about that than you do Jesus on Sunday morning. Man, what happens if Sunday morning was like a sporting event and we get so excited? We'd be pouring Gatorade over ourselves, right? No, you and I, so what is worship? Worship is something we see as worth it. We will drive 5 hours for a 2-hour game. And sometimes we have to debate whether or not we're going to go to church when it's raining. Or we'll go and sit in a movie theater for 2 hours. But sometimes we're a little tired, so therefore we won't go to church. You see, you and I, we are to be living sacrifices of God. What are we living our life to sacrifice for? This is for all of us. This is what Paul is saying. Jesus is worth it. He's so worth it that every town I go in and every city I go in, I could die, but Jesus is worth it. As a matter of fact, Paul will be beheaded. But he said it was gain. It is great gain. And Jesus is worth it. Every step of the way, Jesus is worth it. And I want us to know, church, here on this hill, that Jesus is worth it. Every step we take, He is worth it. So you and I are to live our life as a living sacrifice unto the Lord. Don't look at anyone else's life. I'm talking to you. You specifically. You individually. It doesn't matter if you're in middle school. It doesn't matter if you're in high school. It doesn't matter if you're going off to college. Is Jesus worth it? Because you're going to go, if Jesus is worth it, you're going to go in some directions that your friends aren't going to go in. You're going to make some decisions that they're not going to make. But Jesus is worth it. And you adults, you've got to make the right decisions too, because your kids are watching the decisions you make. And we want to justify the decisions we make. And we want to have the audacity to say to them, don't do as I do as I say. What? That makes no sense at all. None. I'm going to get back on my horse here. Do not, look what it says, do not conform to the pattern of this world. Do not conform to the pattern of this world. This world wants to shape you. And it's doing a pretty good job. It wants to shape you. It wants to shape your mind. It wants to shape your kids' minds. If you don't believe me, look at Hollywood. Look at television. Look at TikTok. What? Yes. Is some of the things that you are watching and viewing on TikTok or on TV and all these things, is it pleasing to God? This world is slowly and subtly trying to shape your minds and your kids' minds. If you aren't active in their life, guess what? The world will be. And it's going to shape them. And this world is going in a direction, if you're not careful, and I'll explain this later, you can look it up, in a cultural Marxism. So we have to be the greatest influence in our kids and our grandkids' lives. We have to instill within them the Word of God. Why? Because look what it says. Do not be conformed to the pattern of this world, but be transformed. I have to say this. Because this younger generation, listen, you missed out on one great invention as a young generation. And I'm praying this comes back. It's metal ashtrays. Some of you right now think I'm talking foreign. I grew up in a time of metal ashtrays. Now you go up to the refrigerator and it comes out ice right there. Right? That's no fun. When I'm talking about metal ashtrays, it's metal. And you pour water in it, and you put it in the freezer, and you got to wait. We live in a society that don't want to wait. But you wait till it gets hard. If you went go a little bit soon, you got to start all over. And then you pull this lever up when it was ready, and it would pop out. You put it in your drink, and you have ice. Or if you want to get real creative, you put Kool-Aid or lemonade. That was our popsicles. You put toothpicks in there. That was our popsicle. You see, what they did was it had squares, and that water would conform within that, and the cold of the freezer would begin to freeze and harden that ice and made it into a square. You see, this world is hardening the hearts of people. Slowly and gradually. Some of the things that you used to would not put up with, you now tolerate. There are things in our world today that our grandparents and great-grandparents would roll over in their grave. You know what we become? We become a tolerating nation. We begin to tolerate, and we begin to say, well, that's a battle I'm not going to fight anymore. Whenever you stop fighting those battles, the enemy begins to win. And I'm going to say this too, okay? Can I say this? Parents, God hadn't called you here to be your kid's best friend. He's called you to be their parent. Now, you be their parent first. You can be their friend too. But sometimes what we want to do is we want to side on the side of friendship and allow things that shouldn't be allowed. Because we want them to like us. I can't tell you how many times I probably went to my bedroom thinking my dad and mom hated me. I probably even yelled it out. But now that I look back on it, I saw how much they loved me. And they love me enough sometimes to say no. They love me enough to stand in the gap. Because I didn't know some of the decisions that I was making. But they did. And so I'm asking, and this is a call to all of us, to make sure that you and I are not to conform to the pattern of this world, but be transformed. How? By the renewing of your mind. You don't read the Word of God for information. You read the Word of God for transformation. There's never a time that I've gone to the Word of God and I haven't come away transformed. And it says how? By the renewing of your mind. Sometimes we need to reboot. We got this thing in our house with something don't work. What do we say? Turn it off and on. A couple weeks ago, the sound system didn't work. We said, turn it off and on. It don't always work. But you turn it off and on. Why? Sometimes it needs a reboot. And we need that reboot. So we need to have the renewing of our mind. Believe me, trash in, trash out. Good things in, good things out. That's why it's important that we put the Word of God in our mind. Why? So that the Word of God will come out of our heart and out of our mouth. Again, this is a question. I don't want you to raise your hand. How much time are you spending in this? This is how I know if you're serious about walking with the Lord. You see, it's right here, that helps us to renew our mind. I shared this story with many of you, but it's been a while, and I'm going to share it again because I can. When my daughter was little, she got an attitude problem. And I noticed this attitude problem, and she was just getting mean and hateful and talking back. And you imagine that? And it was just kind of uncharacteristic of her at that time, and I just thought maybe it was just an age, you know. And then I was sitting there watching a cartoon with her one day, and it hit me. That cartoon was transforming her life. It was conforming her, and it was called Rugrats. And I watched it, and I saw this girl on there named Angelica. And she was mean and hateful, and it was just, she was like watching it. And that light bulb come on. No more. No more. Truth. After a few days, I saw her mind and everything else transform again. You see, it's important what you watch, as well as it's important of what your kids watch. It's important what they listen to. Because what goes into the mind, guess what? It's got to come out. So whenever you are putting the Word of God in your mind, whenever you're putting Caleb in your mind, you're putting worship in your mind, you're putting good things in your mind, all these things begin to come out of your life. Parents, you can help your kids decide what they watch and listen to. But they might not talk to me. Oh, they will when they need some money. Do not conform to the pattern of this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind. What? Then you will be able to test and approve what God's will is. His good, pleasing, and perfect will. By the renewing of your mind, you will be able to test and approve what God's will is for your life. You may say, well, I want to know what God's will for my life is. You get in the Word of God. You get in the Word of God and you begin to see and be able to know and understand and test and approve if that is of God or if that's not of God. You're watching something, you say, that's not of God. That does not please God. If it's not of God and it does not please God, why let it in your life? Why let it in your life? You know what's going to happen if you continue to let it in your life? It's going to be destructive in your life. It's going to be destructive. So renew your mind by the Word of God, so that you may be able to test and approve what God's perfect will is for your life. Next week, I'm done. Next week, we're going to talk about spiritual gifts. Do you know if you're a believer, you have a spiritual gift? Every single one of us has a spiritual gift. And so you are to use that gift that God's given you for the edification of the body. Again, here's the question. Are you using the gift that God's given you for the edification of the body and for the glory of God. You don't want to miss next week. We're going to try to get down to what's your spiritual gift. What is it that God's gifted you in? And are you using the gift God's given you to serve the body of Christ? Let's pray. Father, thank you for this time together. Thank you for the word that speaks to our hearts loud and clear. And Lord, I pray that we take what you've taught us today from your word and we glean from it, we learn from it, we grow from it. And Father, that we begin today not to conform, but we begin to be transformed by the renewing of our mind. We know that as we get into the word of God, it begins us to teach us of the heart of God. And it gives us direction to be able to go out and proclaim the good news of God. So thank you this morning for this short time that we've had of worship and of celebration of our seniors, of the reading of your word. We give you all the glory. And as we close in this last song, if there's anyone here today that needs to just come and just fall before you in prayer, maybe you spoke loud and clear to their heart. Maybe there's someone on their heart that they need to pray for, that they will use this time to come before you and just talk to you. In Jesus' name, amen. Let's all stand together.
Worthy is the Lamb who was slain. Holy, holy is He. Sing a new song to Him who sits on heaven's mercy seat. Worthy is the Lamb who was slain. Holy, holy is He. Sing a new song to Him who sits on heaven's mercy seat. Holy, holy, holy is the Lord God Almighty. Of kings, you are my everything, and I will adore you. Clothed in rainbows of living color, flashes of light. Blessing and honor, strength and glory and power be to you, the only wise King. Holy, holy, holy is the Lord God Almighty, who was and is to come. With all creation I sing praise to the King of Kings. You are my everything, and I will adore you. Filled with wonder, awestruck wonder at the mention of your name. Jesus, your name is power, breath and living water, such a marvelous mystery. Holy, holy, holy is the Lord God Almighty. sing praise to the King of Kings. You are my everything, and I will adore you. With all creation I sing praise to the King of Kings. You are my everything, and I will adore you.
God's people said, amen. 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 Yeah, give the Lord a hand. Amen. You may be seated just a minute. You know, I want to say, too, just with emphasis, you know, anything can be used good or bad. Okay, and so in this, as you walk with the Lord and as you're a Christian, just look at things and use things for the good and not the bad. Don't be a part of the bad. Be a part of that good that proclaims the gospel of Jesus Christ. Amen. This is Garrett. Garrett, come up here. Garrett and I spent some time in my office just a little while ago and wanted to meet with me. And Garrett wasn't a believer, and Garrett's come to know Jesus Christ as his Lord and Savior today. So Garrett saw his need for Christ because he saw his problem as a sinner, and he accepted Christ, and he wants to follow in believer's baptism. And so if we have a motion for that, we have a motion, we have a second. All in favor, raise your right hand and say amen and give the Lord a hand again. Amen. Amen. You may be seated right there. Amen. You know, God is so good, and God may be also speaking to your heart as well. Maybe today you're sitting there and you've realized that you don't have a relationship with Jesus Christ either. Maybe you realize you've got a religion but not a relationship. There is a huge difference. Reach out to me or Brother Jack or Brother David or Aaron or Caleb or any of the staff, any of the deacons, and we'd love to sit down and talk to you about that relationship. It is a huge decision, but it is worth it. It is worth it. He is worth it. Capital H and capital E. I throw all capitals on there, okay? So let's close. Don't forget tonight, bring your kids back for the exotic creatures. Tell your neighbors, bring them back. We'd love to have a good group here for that. Kenny's also going to be teaching on animals of the Bible afterwards. In the coming weeks. So it's going to be a great time. And you come with your kids, okay? All right.